Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Good morning. I'm Albert Morales, your host and managing partner of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. We live in a complicated and dangerous world. The 21st century demands that those who serve in the agencies of the U.S. intelligence community, military and civilian, be capable of rapidly collecting and analyzing intelligence in a threat environment that is exponentially more complex. There is no doubt that the success of the U.S. intelligence community depends, above all, on an innovative and results-focused workforce. With us this morning to discuss strategic human capital efforts within the intelligence community is Dr. Ron Sanders, Associate Director of National Intelligence for Human Capital within the Office of the Director of National Intelligence. Good morning, Ron.
Morning.
Also joining us in our conversation is Bob Bleimeister, partner in IBM's Human Capital Practice. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning.
Ron, many of our listeners may or may not be familiar with your organization, so can you start by setting some context? Can you give us an overview of the mission and origin of the Director of National Intelligence, or otherwise known as ODNI?
Sure. I think our office actually has its origins in one of the most traumatic and horrific events in our history, September 11th, 2001. In its aftermath, there were several commissions, one sponsored by the Congress, another sponsored by the President, that looked at the intelligence community, otherwise known as IC, and you'll hear me use IC as sort of shorthand as we go through this morning. They looked at the structure of the intelligence community, and in a phrase that's become almost a cliche, the 9/11 Commission said there was a failure to connect the dots. Let me translate. I think what they were saying is that the intelligence community failed to effectively integrate all of the various sources of intelligence that were at its disposal. All of the pieces of the puzzle may have been there. They just weren't put together on one page. So they set about to fix that. That led to something called the Intelligence Reform and Terrorism Prevention Act of 2004, which actually established the Office of the Director of National Intelligence. The DNI's mission in life, I think, is his raison d'etre, is to bring about much greater integration in that intelligence community. And I'll have to tell you, I've been around the block a bit. This, I believe, is one of the most complex and challenging transformations in the federal government's history. Different than, for example, the Department of Homeland Security, which took a classic sort of bureaucratic approach. In government faced with a challenge, sort of takes separate bureaucracies and makes them into one big bureaucracy. And I don't use bureaucracy as a pejorative term, just as sort of a structural one. In the case of the intelligence community, what the Congress and the President did was take that community in its six separate cabinet departments plus one independent agency, the Central Intelligence Agency, and said, we want you to act like a community in a sort of networked and net-centric way, but without classic chain of command authority. The DNI does not have chain of command authority over the intelligence agencies. He has power of the purse. He has some personnel authorities. But generally, the challenge here is to bring about that integration through other means. I hope we get into that this morning because I think while that may be more challenging than that classic approach, ultimately, I think it's going to be for the better. I think it's going to make us more effective in the long run.
Ron, to give us a sense of the scale when you describe the intelligence community, can you tell us how this organization is organized, and can you define for us which specifically are the organizations that compose this intelligence community?
17 agencies and elements in six cabinet departments, the departments of state, defense, energy, homeland security, justice, and Treasury, plus the Central Intelligence Agency. The DNI is actually an independent agency as well, and its relationship to the Executive Office of the President is has some interesting nuances to it. You know, my boss talks to the President almost every day, but deliberately outside of that immediate office in order to ensure that the intelligence he provides is as objective as possible. But those 17 agencies in six cabinet departments plus the CIA range in size from a couple of hundred to many, many thousands. They each have their own separate histories and traditions and cultures. In justice, for example, we have the Federal Bureau of Investigation. We have an element of DEA. In Homeland Security, we have a Central Intelligence and Analysis Shop. We also have the Coast Guard and its intelligence components. The variety is, in some respects, mind-boggling to think about trying to build it, to integrate and create a common culture of collaboration. with all of those agencies and elements.
Ron, with that unusual organization, what are your specific roles and responsibilities in your role as the CHECO for DNI?
I see myself as having strategic responsibility, not tactical or operational. In that respect, I think I'm department-like, and I've tried to organize my office the way a cabinet department would organize its human capital office, again, at 50,000 feet, not 5,000 feet, not operational. While I may, for example, help design how human resource services are delivered, we will not actually deliver human resource services. So it is that strategic role, but underneath that, the full scope of human capital, human resource functions. Workforce planning, recruiting and hiring, competencies and standards that drive training, development, career management, et cetera, a whole range of policy, personnel policies and programs, including compensation, benefits, insurance programs, you name it. Again, a fairly classic human capital office. The anomaly here is that unlike my counterparts in Homeland Security or DOD, I don't have chain of command authority, or my boss doesn't have chain of command authority over the various piece parts of the community. So we have to bring about consensus and move forward in a different way.
So it sounds like that brings its own unique challenges to the job. How do you see your most difficult challenges in your role, and how are you going after those?
I hope we have more than an hour.
Yeah.
I have three big challenges, I think, and I'm not unusual. I think the same three challenges apply to my counterparts in the DNI senior leadership team. First, it's integration. Having the intelligence community act like a community, bound together by a common mission, common values, common ethos, but still providing for enough independence and flexibility because these are different agencies with different missions. General Mike Hayden, when he was the principal deputy to the Director of National Intelligence, described it as trying to strike the right balance between autonomy on one hand and coherence on the other. This is not one size fits all. We're not looking for sort of a central intelligence authority. Congress flirted with a Department of National Intelligence and rejected that model. At the same time, we need to move from the past where autonomy was the rule rather than the exception. So trying to find that balance in the middle. Integration, and in my view, integration through human capital strategies and policies has a great deal of potential for us. I believe that's one of the most powerful levers we have in bringing about that integration. Secondly, institution building. The Director of National Intelligence, the office of the DNI, is a brand new agency created in the 21st century. It presides over a network of intelligence agencies, not a hierarchy, not a bureaucracy, trying to establish that institutional identity from, you know, what are the limits of the DNI statutory authorities on one hand to what are the full scope and reach of his policies, programs, strategies, et cetera. You know, what is our role in life? As you know, because you all have been around in this town for a while, legislation only goes so far. It describes things at a very high level, and sorting out the details, our relationship with those cabinet departments and their cabinet secretaries, our relationship with the CIA, our relationship with the other intelligence agencies and components, that institutional identity is a challenge for all of us. My focus, of course, is with respect to human capital, but it applies to analysis, collection, information technology, business systems, et cetera. And then lastly, and in my view, more importantly, it's recovery and renewal. In the 90s, in a word, the intelligence community was gutted. By design or default, we were downsized dramatically. We lost bone and muscle. If you look at the demographic profile of our workforce, ours is not unusual in shape. It may be unusual in extreme, but it is too humped. It's bimodal. We went through a period in the 90s now that we're now having to deal with, a trough literally where people who would have been entering in the mid-90s and who would now be at mid-career, there's simply not enough of them there. There's this – that's the trough between the two waves. The classic bulge on one end, people who look like me and who are ready to retire. I'm not ready to retire, but you know, our operating tempo is pretty brutal, and some days I am. So that's, you know, that's one hump of this two-humped shape. On the other hand, extremely large percentage of our workforce has 5 years or less of service. Here's where we're blessed. In some cases, in many agencies, they don't have two humps. They just have one. They have the retirement bulge. Since September 11th, we have been hiring. We are trying to recover that bone and muscle that we lost in the 90s. We're approaching 40% of our workforce with 5 years or less of service. That brings with it a whole nother set of challenges. Now, this is a 21st century organization. It is a 21st century workforce. And there are all sorts of generational issues that we're going to have to confront if on this road to recovery and renewal. But now we have to assimilate those new people. We have to train them, inculcate our core values into them, deploy them, hopefully motivate and retain them. This is a long-term project. We've been at it for about 5 years now. My view is we have at least another 5 years to go, and we have to maintain some core capability across the board with dozens of countries, many of them new, and all sorts of non-state actors that simply weren't as relevant and prevalent in the late 80s and early 90s. So that recovery and renewal with a much broader, more complex skill set, bringing that workforce back to what it once was and then some, that's the human capital challenge, and it's really critical. I lose sleep over that at night.
Ron, last time we had a chance to chat, you were serving with the IRS. Could you describe for our listeners your career path, and can you tell us a little bit about how these prior experiences prepared you for your current role at ODNI?
One of the things that most interests me in government is transformation. Not steady state, not maintenance, but changing things. So I've gravitated to organizations that are undergoing or are part of big changes, big transformations. In DOD, it was the peace dividend and the downsizing of the 90s. How could we do that, particularly on the civilian side, which was what I was involved in, without, again, going below that minimum level that where you start losing bone and muscle, where you lose core capability and you pay for it downstream. IRS, we all know what happened with the IRS in the mid-90s and the IRS Restructuring and Reform Act. I happened to be on sabbatical at the time teaching public administration, and I was asked by the Senate Finance Committee to testify on the IRS Restructuring and Reform Act. And after I was done, Charles Rosati and a couple of the senior leaders at IRS basically said, why don't you come put your money where your mouth is? I think this one is the most complex. My boot camp has been to deal with individual cultures and try to transform them. The complexity is exponentially increased when you're dealing with multiple cultures. And in fact, as typical, every one of the agencies in the IC, as well as any other federal agency, has subcultures, tribes. There are several tribes in every one of our agencies, and they don't allow any sort of intermarriage or interchange.
Well, you certainly have been seeking out some of the more tougher challenges in government to attack, so great. What is the U.S. intelligence community's human resource strategy? We will ask Dr. Ron Sanders, Associate Director for National Intelligence for Human Capital, to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.